This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Dickerson, Bostic, Sean Myers behind the glass. You know how insane Crowley was before he left because he's very scared to fly. You know what happened. Like, he's stuck there right now. Like, all his flights home got canceled, and the only option was to fly to three different cities to get home. So he chose to stay another day to see if he can get a direct flight, which is not even guaranteed. So he's a mess right now. He's an absolute mess.
He's a mess. His clothes probably stink.
Yes.
Is that any different than normal?
No.
I find it to be quite funny.
Yeah. Me
too. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, that's great. I love seeing this happen to him. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Right. He's just trapped in New Orleans. All he wants to do is come home.
He's probably having the time of his life down there.
Oh, he texted me. He was like, I'm never doing this ever again.
I wonder why.
I'm never flying like during the week ever again. He's a mess right now, but he should be back at some point. Hopefully you'll hear him Monday morning. Sean, we have the big game tonight. The Four Nations face-off final between USA and Canada. And I asked you to do some trivia or give us some trivia questions and see how well we do. Let's get it rolling. Pat, I'm going to need your help. You can't just sit this one out.
Are we like doing this together?
Yeah. So what's... It's you two just trying collectively.
Yes.
Okay, I would suggest you use the third party in there, Cam, because he seems to be a pretty knowledgeable hockey guy as well.
Okay, so. Cam, put on. Yeah, throw your mic on. Use that mic right there. Yes, we're going to need this. He's our lifeline. Yes, there you go. All right, good call, Sean.
I think
Thank you.
Chances of succeeding just went up drastically.
There we go.
Okay, so I have six questions, and then if need be, I have a seventh one if you want to throw one out, whatever. Question number one. Is not just about this game tonight. It's about U.S. hockey in general. Five U.S.-born players have surpassed 500 career goals in the NHL. So you have five options to choose from. Name two of those players.
All time, clearly?
Yes, career in the NHL, 500-plus goals. There's five guys that are on this list. I ask you to name two of them. Yeah, you got to get that man some headphones so that he can help out.
I mean, we're really going to show our you-know-what doing this.
Yeah,
we're no.
Like the fact there's people like yelling at their radio right now.
Oh, no.
I'll give you a few hints if need be. One is that one of these guys was a former Penguin player. Two other guys are known for their name being generational in the NHL, including some notable players currently. So did you hear the question, Cam?
Now, can you repeat it real quick?
There are five U.S.-born players who scored 500-plus NHL goals in their career. Five guys. We're trying to get just two of them.
I'm going back to my youth here. Eric Lindros.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
And I think he might have been Canadian anyway.
Try my best.
That's where I'm going to mess up, is who was Canadian. That's where I'm going to show my ass, It's like, who was Canadian, who isn't Canadian? Like Mark Recchi?
He is not on the list. One guy has 700 plus goals. Everyone else is in the 500 range.
Gretzky's so, Canadian, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy was 741. That's, I think, like top four or five all time.
Like, is Ron Francis Canadian?
Yeah, Ron Francis is not on this list.
You said one guy's an ex-Penguin?
Yes. And he was early 90s Penguin.
Early 90s?
Paul Coffey.
No. Cam, do you have any ideas? Because I can give you a hint that will specifically help you.
Oh, Detroit.
Is it a Red Wing?
There are two former Red Wings on this list, and I think you would have seen both of them play. Neither one of them primarily known as Red Wings. It was late in their
career. Steve Yzerman.
Oh, no, he's Canadian.
Hossa.
Nope.
Oh. You think he's American?
I don't know. I thought he was.
You just said Yzerman.
I said Steve Yzerman.
Isn't he Canadian?
Hopefully it's going to get easier after this.
Oh, gosh. This is so bad. Wait.
Is Jerome Iginla American?
I was going to say that.
He is not on here as well. I should be better at knowing which of these guys are American or not, but I could tell you the list of the five you have not named any of.
Is Gordie Howe American?
No.
Wow.
This is bad.
Okay. Do you want any more hints here?
Yeah, one more hint.
One is a legendary goal scorer, much like his dad was a legendary goal scorer.
Hall.
Brett Hall, 741
go.
Career goals, number one all-time amongst Americans. Can you get any of the other four?
Give me another clue from somebody else.
This another former Red Wing like Brett Hall, but he's more well-known as a Dallas Star.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, Mike Modano, is
Mike
he on
Modano.
There?
There
you go.
There
Mike
you
Modano,
go.
Number two with 561.
Oh, we're cooking.
The thread to the, so you guys technically get that one because you got the two. The thread to the current players that I said it was a generational name, Keith Tkachuk.
Oh, the Tkachuk
with 538 goals. Jeremy Roenick, 513.
Roenick.
And former Penguin, Joey Mullen, with 502. Goals.
No, we got two. That's not bad, I guess. That's probably terrible, but that's not bad. All right, next question.
Okay, we're going to go a little more recent. We'll go to this Four Nations tournament. With a spot in the championship already clinched, Team USA played their backup goalie in their most recent game on Monday, Jake Oettinger. What NHL team does he play for?
I know this, but I'll let you guys try first.
It's a team that I've already mentioned in this trivia segment.
South. Down south.
Dallas Stars.
It is the Dallas Stars.
I knew that.
Stars.
I knew that. Nice. Good job, Pat.
Let's go.
Good job. Good
Context
job.
Clues. Let's go.
Good job. Question number three.
One of the best Americans right now is Austin Matthews, and he led the NHL in goals last season. Within three, how many did he score a year ago? This is the NHL high total from last season, courtesy of Austin Matthews.
This is going to be a terrible guess. So they play how many games? How many games do they play in the NHL? 82?
82.
Is it? 68.
You are within one.
Oh, let's go, Pat!
69 goals.
Nice.
For Austin
I almost said
Matthews.
69, but I didn't want to sound weird.
I said that to my son last night. He said, what was the score of the pick-in the other night? I said 80 to 69. He just looked at me. I was like, what
Jet,
are you looking at?
Jet
like
or?
Jace. Just quit looking at me like that.
Okay.
There we go.
We're going to go on the other side of things with Team Canada. Who is their head coach? And he has been a very successful NHL head coach over the past decade plus.
I know this one as well, but. If you guys want to try first.
I mean, what team does he coach?
Can I tell him that?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
I believe he is the longest tenured NHL coach.
He is.
And
That's
I
correct.
Think Sully might be number two.
His name is like, I can see his name, but I
can
I'm
see
not
his face.
Yeah, I can
I
see his face
see
his too.
Name. I
Do you want to answer this one, Cam?
Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, is it? I know it's Cooper. Is it John Cooper?
John Cooper, yeah.
Is I knew
the
that
head
too.
Coach of Team Canada.
Yep.
Okay, so on Saturday, the first USA-Canada game, Jake Guentzel scored twice for Team USA. Penguins fans remember him well. He did not score the game-winning goal, however, for the Americans. Who did?
Tkachuk.
That is incorrect.
You said the Canada-US game?
Yes.
Red Wing player.
Oh. A Michigan native, by the way.
Gordie Howe.
He did play pretty late into his life, but he did not make it
this
to
is,
2025.
If you could pick a sport to ask me trivia on, the fact that I've gotten one question right on my own is
that's really good.
It's really good. Like this, and that was 68 was a total just math job.
That was good. That was very good.
82, 68, you.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's Dylan Larkin.
It is indeed the captain of the Red Wings, Dylan Larkin.
All right, one more.
Ugh, okay.
This is putrid.
It's bad.
This is like, oh my God.
I'm going to give you one that I think you have a better chance at out of the two remaining ones.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
We'll go with the standby question. Which city hosts tonight's championship game?
Boston.
There you go.
Nice.
All right, give us another one.
Okay, so the one that I thought you might struggle with a little bit more is that Team Canada has two former Norris Trophy winners, that means best defensemen, that are on their roster. Can you name either of their two former Norris winners on the blue line?
Cale Makar.
There you go.
Nice. Let's go!
Do you know
Good
the
job,
other one
Doran.
By chance?
What's that?
Do you know the other one? I think if I give you the team, one of you guys will definitely get it.
I'm trying to think of their roster right now.
I believe this second Norris winner was a replacement. He wasn't on the original roster. He was added later into the equation.
Hughes?
No.
Oh, I guess he's American.
Yes, and apparently he's not going to make it. He's
right.
Hanging out in Vancouver, I heard.
What team?
Former, or not former, L.A. King legend.
Oh, I know. That's all I needed. I forgot. I forgot he still played because he's so
old
now.
This
was a while ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew Doughty?
Doughty. Okay.
Drew Doughty. And Cale Makar, the two former Norris winners who manned the blue line for Team Canada.
I might just leave. That was so bad.
That was bad, but it wasn't that bad. But it was really,
I think
yeah,
you
it was really
on
bad.
A high note because Doran,
yeah.
you nailed both
yeah,
Boston
you did great.
And Cale Makar.
I'm really
yeah.
proud of the 68.
Yeah, it's good
selection.
That's good. Thank
not
you,
so
Cam.
Proud of
yep.
the other stuff. But yeah. that was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
A job well done.
Thank you, Sean, and job well done by you. All right, coming up next, did Ben Roethlisberger call out the current Steelers football team? We'll hear from him from his football and podcast coming up next. But first, a Sean Myers headline. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hey, the 93.7 The Fan will be at Firehouse Subs at the Point in North Fayette today from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. with tickets to get into the Fan 15th anniversary event. There's going to be tickets there, so show up. Firehouse Subs in North Fayette from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. today. We'll have tickets for you if you want to join us in our 15th anniversary, which is next Wednesday at Rivers Casino, February 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. Come join us, and we'll have a really good time. There's a lot of good things planned for that event. So Firehouse Subs today, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Grab some tickets and join us in that event. Did Ben Roethlisberger, did he call out the Pittsburgh Steelers on his football and podcast?
A team has to know when they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers that they're going to be hurting. Same way I knew when I was playing Baltimore that I was going to be hurting. Like, we need to play Baltimore every week. Like, that needs to be our mentality as the Pittsburgh Steelers, is we're going to go just absolutely pound these people into the ground in a clean way. You know what? We're going to be hurting, but you're going to be hurting worse. So I don't know if that's how that keeps on. I don't know if that's been lost from players now because there's so few guys left. I mean, Cam, TJ. I mean, even Minka, he's been there for a while and he's a leader, but he didn't get drafted here. He got brought here. Bring Joe Green back for a little bit. I don't know.
The Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I don't know if he was calling out the Steelers like and calling them soft, this current regime, this current roster, but there is a difference. I mean, football's different though, right, Pat? I mean, football is different. There was a time and place where the physical part of the game was a huge element of preparation. And, you know, I just remember even back in my day, like whenever I was playing receiver my first year in Houston and seeing like Brian Dawkins out there with the the dark visor whenever we played Denver, and I'm like, I have to run a dig route across the middle. Like, I better prepare myself. That's Brian Dawkins.
You might die.
Yeah, he's going to take my head off. You don't have that element in the game anymore. Like, you don't have to really worry about that. Now, sometimes you'll get, you know, dinged up, but it isn't like it was before where the physical part of the game played, a psychological part in offense at least. So I don't know if Ben necessarily was calling out, you know, the softness of this team. I think it's more of, you know, there isn't games where you're immediately heading right to the cold tub because you're so sore and beat up because the rules have changed so much. Like, football is way different. It's almost close to flag football than it is playing football back 20 years ago.
I agree. You said a phrase that I thought of when Ben was talking, which was like, back in my day, right? Like, I get a little bit of he's looking at the current generation of Steelers and comparing it to who he was teammates with and who he shared the locker room and Lombardi trophies with. It was a different game then, and the mentality of football was different. If you look at some of the highlight reels of just like decapitating hits from like Ryan Clark and James Harrison and all those guys, I mean, Larry Foote, some of the guys that roamed the middle and punished people. The game is legislated, it's officiated different. But I do think he's onto something about the standard being upheld by players and the kind of leadership you have in that locker room. I think he's absolutely on something there. The style of play, the physicality. I mean, he was also the best offenses he played on were pass happy, you know, built on speed with the Killer Bees and him. So, I think a little bit is, you know, looking back and having some nostalgia to when you played. But the game is certainly different now. Now, I will say this. I mean, we keep talking about the Eagles because they won the Super Bowl, but I think there's a little bit of fear when you play that team.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to – they don't have a bunch of 15-yard penalties or, you know, knocking guys out of the game for targeting, but they're going to bully you up front. And I think when you play them offensively, you know they're going to run the ball. There's that side that I don't – I think the Steelers want to be that. I don't think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not winning the trenches like they used to. And – on either side of the football, I don't care what TJ's numbers are, Alex's numbers are. If you look at their rush defense, which is the stats don't bear, but in big games, I mean, they got it run on them. And you look at Philly on both sides or Baltimore on both sides to some degree, there's a difference there. And that would be where I think Ben's words ring the most true.
Do you think that's like the type of players you draft? Like, I mean, I would like to say that Zach Frazier has that mentality, like a workhorse, go to work, hey, move – player from point A to point B, but I don't feel like college players have that mentality, you know, heading into the NFL. Like, I don't know if Broderick Jones, and I played at Georgia and they're very dominant, but in for Troy Faltano, I think has that mentality. I think that it may be the transition from college to pro of like, hey, like we're going into a street fight. Like, I'm not saying that college is soft, college football, but like it does seem like it's way different and it starts there from the type of player that you get to want to play a certain way in the NFL, and you just don't see those guys that are just bullies anymore, at least in college, in my opinion.
No, I mean, you don't, but, you know, a guy like, say, Amalu or Faltanu, you know, you look at the Eagles, Matt Mailata was a rugby player. I mean, those are maulers. And in college football, the style of play is so different now.
Mm-hmm.
You look at how Pitt's playing offensively. I mean, you're not moving guys off the ball. You're taking guys where they want to go. It's pass first, run second. You know, you, for a while there, you saw a lot of linemen coming from Iowa, coming from Notre Dame, coming from Wisconsin, where the mentality is to run the football. And that seems to have diminished a little bit in favor of athleticism, in favor of length. So I think the big ball always rolls, and things come back to the future at some point. But right now, I think, simply put, the physical part of the game is much more evident in the NFL than it is in college.
As I said before, head over to Firehouse Subs from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. to get your tickets to our Fan 15th anniversary event Wednesday, February 26th. Be a part of that event. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Saturday, go to Jackworth Ginger Beer on Hamilton Avenue, proudly serving Boyd and Blair from 1 to 2 p.m. to grab tickets as well. First 10 people will get a pair of tickets to the party, or head to Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Scott Township on Monday from noon to 1 p.m. For more, go to 937thefan.com. So get your tickets at those two places today, Firehouse Saturday, you can go to Jack Worth Ginger Beer on Hamilton Avenue. Coming up next, Jeff Hathorn, he will join us. Talk about the Four Nations final tonight with Jeff. But first, a Sean Myers headline. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. And that is me and Pat, because I've been getting tweets about how brutal that trivia session was of USA and Canada.
I'll take a little bit of the blame, though.
Yeah, so, what happened? Something
about
happened.
About time, Sean.
Yes, so I misled you guys. I said U.S.-born players with 500 goals. Brett Hall was born in Canada, grew up in Chicago, dual citizen, played for Team USA. But he was born in Canada, even though his accolades often associated with being American since he's a dual citizen. So I'll take the blame on that one.
Did we not get that one? Because that's the one I guessed.
We did. It took us about 28 minutes, but
yeah,
we got it.
Yeah, you did ultimately get that, but I should have clarified that better. Since he was technically born in Canada, he was not U.S.-born player. Jeff Hathorn, of course, would have known that one, but he did represent U.S. and is often associated with United States hockey.
Of course, Jeff would know that. And Jeff is on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning, Jeff. How are you? And I know that the news has been spread about Mike Lang passing away. Your initial thoughts whenever you heard the sad news and the legacy that he's leaving behind and what a legend he was in the broadcasting community?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about all the good times. Listen, for at PPG, my seat in the press box was right below the booth. So I got to hear him like do his thing. One of the thrills of my broadcast life was when he knew me enough to call me by name. Like that was, I mean, you felt like you had made it. Like Mike Lang said, "Hey, Jeff." And Mike was the best. Like Mike used those phrases, but it wasn't about Mike. He did it because he loved the game. He thought that added to the game. It brought excitement to the game. That's what I loved about Mike. And I'll tell you a quick story. A buddy of mine, when I worked in, it was in college, I worked at a TV station in Columbus, and it was during the cup runs, and we would run highlights of Mike Lang sound up full on the TV broadcasts. So all these people in Columbus were hearing all, like, what in the world is this? And people come up to us, who is this guy? And we tell them about Mike Lang, and the buddy who was the photographer was also a Penguins fan. Fast forward about 15 years, he's dealing with 20 years, actually. He's dealing with brain cancer. And he wanted to meet Mike. And he came, I was able to come to a game, and Mike couldn't have been nicer in making him feel like a king. And in his hospital room, we had sent him some stuff from the Penguins Cup run, the shirts and towels, and it was a picture with him and Mike, because that meant so much to him. It was a, it was cool. And Mike didn't have to do it. He's got a lot of things going on. A lot of people ask for, you know, pieces of his time, but this was somebody he didn't know. And he was awesome about it. And he impacted a life. And I'm sure there are hundreds of other stories of things Mike did over his time with the Penguins.
Doran, that goes back to what you were saying earlier when we had Bill Hillgrove on talking about, you know, better, great broadcaster, better person, and Bill epitomizes that. Jeff, obviously, you're a play-by-play man too. You've grown up in and around Pittsburgh. You've got a chance to see, witness, meet, learn from some of the best, of which Mike Lang is at or near the top of that list. I'm asking you personally, what about him, his style, appealed to you, and what, if anything, you took from him that you've tried to implement when you do a basketball game or a volleyball match or a football game, or the various things, various hats you wear in your career?
Listen, I can never do his sayings. That's my, that's his thing. But I loved them. And the thing I loved about Mike was his energy. And he wasn't afraid to be a storyteller on the air. That it wasn't about every tic-tac-toe play. You know, sometimes I listen to guys and they're like describing every blade of grass and how high the snap comes, or exactly how far the shot and how much he cocked the stick back. Like, Mike was about being conversational, telling you a game, eliciting excitement, and the guys loved him for it. Like, he didn't show up anybody. That was the other thing, too. Like, he didn't call people out. He made it fun. And you got to remember, I mean, he called five cups. But before that, there wasn't a lot of great hockey. But yet, the players still respected him, and he had fun with it. And I think that's the thing that transcended Mike. Again, Mike, those sayings weren't about Mike trying to draw attention to himself. That was him having fun with the game and being out at a pub and hearing and somebody giving him a phrase and him using it on the air. You know, like that was Mike. Mike was a man of the people, and he was, and considering he was from, I mean, it's funny how few people know he was from Sacramento, because he feels like he's always been from Pittsburgh.
Jeff, who has the most to lose tonight, pride-wise and just, you know, just with everything involved, USA or Canada? Who has the most on the line in this hockey game, which everybody seems to be so excited about?
Screw Canada. Screw them. I think for the U.S., there's more on the line. Well, I mean, Canada really wants this. I mean, there's a lot that's going into it and losing the first game. But, I mean, the U.S., historically, is the underdog in this matchup. I think this is the U.S.'s to win. And I know the Canadians really want it. I think, I mean, again, this is awesome. But I would say that probably the U.S. has a little bit more to lose. But it's, I mean, I can't wait. How about this? It's All-Star break, and I can't wait for the game.
Right.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah, it's going to be electric. Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be. That we talked about this last week, right? I mean, what a great alternative to your run-of-the-mill, boring, over-programmed All-Star game than to have something on the line that means something to the sport, to each country. I mean, you wish you could bottle it up and replicate it in every major sport. I'm not sure it would be possible. And honestly, this says a lot about hockey players in general.
Yes.
It says a lot about the culture of that sport, Jeff, and you get to know those guys really well. They're just different.
And guys, I was going through the locker room the other day and just getting guys' opinions about the game. And it was interesting. Forget Ryan Graves, the player. But Ryan was, you know, telling Matt Wenzel and I, like, I was wearing a Canadian jersey. Here I was getting a break from hockey, and I was fixated. I was sitting on the edge of my seat watching this. And he says, you know, people in Pittsburgh think of Sid, and Sid is well known and loved. And he's like, but in Canada, Sid is loved.
Mm.
Like, and to see Sid and to have Mario come out, like the whole thing, like these hockey players are talking about it, and it's cool. I mean, obviously that's their sport, that's their love, but to hear how much they got into it and how much they appreciated fast-paced, competitive hockey, even at a break. And even they even said, like, hey, we know there's a risk of injury, but that's okay. Like, we want to compete, and we want to compete for our country, and we'll take the risk.
Jeff, I talked to Colby Armstrong yesterday. I talked to TK a couple days ago. Do you feel like it's hard for those guys and their rooting interest in this game? Those guys are both so jacked up about this game, by the way. Like, Colby was just text after text, like, this is so good for hockey. This is awesome. I loved how the game started a couple days ago whenever they, you know, threw the gloves down and fought. But I do, you know, I wanted to ask them, but I didn't want to put them on the spot even through text, about their rooting interest in knowing that both of them grew up in Canada and now are residents of the United States. Do you think it's hard for them to watch this game and have to pick a side to root for?
No, I think they go back to their homeland.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty simple. It was a joke with P.O. Joseph. He was like, oh, Canada, it's our time. It's redemption time. And I said, so do you hate the American coach?
Right.
And he's like, I do on Thursday. I do on Thursday. I want him to lose. And yeah, I mean, listen, these guys grow up with him. As much as we do here, obviously in Canada, the pride to have the opportunity to represent your country. I mean, guys, you guys played sports at a different level than I did, but come on, growing up, didn't you have a dream of like wearing the red, white, and blue?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And these guys are getting to do it. And it doesn't matter whether they're elite athletes or not. Like, the opportunity to represent your country in an environment that really ramps it up is awesome.
Jeff, you're the man. Appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Jeff.
Coming up next, me, Cam Guess, Pat Bostic, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. We will all give our predictions on the score of tonight's Four Nations final, and we'll wrap up the show.
Since we know so much about hockey.
Yeah, we know a lot. We're in the top tier of hockey talkers. We are. This is the best hockey talk in town.
We've become better today, I think.
We have. We have. I'm proud of us.
I feel great.
I'm very proud of us. But first, Sean Myers headline. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, guys, prediction time. I know all of us will be paying attention to that game tonight. It's one of the biggest, I think, sporting events in a long time. I mean, it's bigger than the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Not obviously, but I think watching-wise and entertaining-wise, it'll be better than the Super Bowl. I know last game was, so I anticipate this game being a better watch than the Super Bowl. All right, I'll go first, and then we can go Cam, you can go, and then Pat, and then Sean, you can close it out with the prediction. It's good. It's hard to beat a team twice, as we know, in sports, but especially in this circumstance, it's hard for the United States to beat a Canada team that has seen so much success over the years. It is a very hard thing to do. It's hard to even wrap your mind around Canada losing twice to the United States within a week. It's hard to do that, I understand. But the United States is going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to beat them tonight. And the score is going to be 3-2 in overtime. Overtime game, 3-2, United States, USA over Canada, and they will have all the bragging rights, and Canada will be losing their minds. I hope I can understand why some people will boo tonight during the Canada national anthem. I hope they don't boo, but I can understand it, and I think that they will boo. But USA, they get the win tonight. 3-2 overtime over Canada. Cam?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar with you. I'm a realist. I think that Canada's talent is just too much sometimes for the U.S. maybe. With McDavid, McKinnon, and Crosby, you got arguably the three best players in the NHL right now. So I think the game will be a barn burner. I think it will go into overtime, but I'm not sure if U.S. is going to be able to hang on if Brady Tkachuk doesn't play. Because I think Brady Tkachuk is like the face of the U.S. right now, the scrappy guy to get things going, get the crowd into the game. And then also without Charlie McAvoy, who was playing on that first defensive line against McDavid, Crosby, and McKinnon, who was handling them pretty well. So without those two, if Brady Tkachuk ends up not playing, it'll be tough. So I do think it will go into overtime. I can't see it going anywhere else. But I think Canada might come away with this one. Now, will I be rooting for the U.S.? Of course.
Yeah.
But if I were to put money on it, or I was a betting man, I'd probably say Canada might get this one.
What's the score?
3-2. I was going to say the same thing, just flipped.
Pat?
I think it's exciting for the first 15 minutes, a couple fights. USA wins 5-1.
Ooh!
It's a sleeper, second and third period.
Pat throwing haymakers. All right, Sean Myers. So we're going to end two aside here. I'm going with Team Canada. I think they win 4-2. USA's biggest advantage is in goal, so there is a chance that Binnington struggles for Canada. That would be probably the best bet for Team USA, but I think Canada, and in particular Connor McDavid, take this game over late. McDavid came just shy of winning Stanley Cup. Maybe he'll get that someday, but this is his biggest opportunity to establish himself in front of the entire North American viewing audience as the best player in the NHL once again, and he'll do that tonight.
Score?
4-2, Team Canada.
Okay, there we go. There we go. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be electric. I can't wait for this matchup tonight. Just fantastic, and it's great for hockey, too. It really is, to get everybody involved. And, you know, during this time, which is like a dead period during All-Star break and things of that nature and all the other All-Star games that are going on right now being so trash, this is great, great, great for hockey. All right, Pomp and Joe and I think Tyler Kennedy are up next. I'm Doran Dickerson. I'm out. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks, guys.